This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we welcome you in our Warriors Weekly podcast, John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz. It's episode number 3, and Steiny, I know you had an up-close and personal look at the Steph show from last night as he goes for 50 against the Hawks. This Warriors team is 9-1, and another third-quarter explosion that has people talking about 2015 or 2016. I know we've kind of downplayed that, but this team keeps having moments that make you think that maybe they could be onto something special.
You know what? I think it's becoming apparent that they've got something. They got chemistry, a vibe, an understanding. It really looks like they all like each other. They're having fun, and that can win you a lot of games during the regular season. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you what, the biggest thing I noticed last night, and you're right, I great seats to the game. I haven't been that low for a game in a long time. I'll tell you, I was blown away by how big Steph Curry is and how strong he's gotten. He is strong. I mean, his arms and his body is just, you know, I always remember when he came into the league, he was scrawny. And now, like, he's making Trae Young look that way. And Trae Young is that way, but like Curry's got a size advantage on a lot of guys that you don't really notice. And then his ability to play off the ball. He was good last night. Let me ask you this, and I know this is a little off the track. You know how when you're watching a game on TV and the announcer goes, Curry with 20 at half, and then he goes, you got Curry with 30. When you're at the game and you're not being fed box scores and information, like, I'm telling you, it was like a quiet 50. Well, I swear to God, like, I didn't even really notice.
Yeah, I was monitoring it early, and I'll go back because I knew you had good seats last night, and Curry scored the first 10 for the Warriors. And look, this was a big game. I mean, we were talking about how I think I said to you during the day yesterday, on the day of the Hawks game, hey, this feels like the biggest game of the year to this point, or the second biggest game, or maybe one of three in the first 10 that I'm looking forward to. And I hit you when Curry hit the first shot of the game and he had 10, and I said, uh-oh. And it was the uh-oh, like, there was just a vibe to him right away.
Yeah.
The Hawks were in town. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals. Trae Young's a terrific young player, but there was an element of Steph from the tip saying, this is my house.
Yeah.
This is my team. This is my league. And Trae, you're a hell of a young player, and your day is maybe here and going to continue to come, but I'm going to be the headliner tonight, not y'all.
Yeah. I mean, It's a guy who's the best player on the court, and he knows he's the best player on the court. And he was great last night. I mean, you know what? I was thinking about this too, man. You know, like, how many times have we watched Curry play? I was thinking about this. 1,000 games has he played for the Warriors? Let's see, 80 times 10 playoff. Maybe not quite 1,000. Maybe 750. You could look it up, and I'm like,
yeah, seven. I got it right here, actually. Okay. I was digging into some other Steph numbers. It's 766. Actually, 772 in the regular season. 772.
Okay. So he's probably up around 200 playoff games too. So what I'm getting at is we've probably seen Curry play upwards of 800 to 1,000 times. And that's a sign of greatness, like what he did last night. You hadn't seen it before. Now, he's scored 50 before, but it does lead you to believe, how long can he do this? And not like he doesn't have a lot of time left. More like, can he really do this for 2 or 3 more years?
Well, it reminded me of – and look, Steve Nash, at the point where he had the two MVPs with Phoenix – he was already a pretty good player, but he had done nothing up until that point, like Stephen Curry has done up until this point. But it kind of reminds me, just from a timeline standpoint, Steiny, of Nash, where, you know, he was starting to get up there a little bit. And I guess he wasn't quite as old. I mean, you tend to think of him as maybe as old as Curry is now. But it just, you know, the game ages well, I guess, is
right.
What I'm getting right. at. And here's – there's so many takeaways off of the Hawks game and leading into the first 10 as a whole. Some of the conversation last night among those in the media, is Steph a more complete player? And I know Marcus Thompson of The Athletic, I think, wrote a column that dropped this morning as we record this about that. The 57 and 10, he's averaging a little under 28 points per game. He's averaging 6.6 rebounds a game, 6.6 assists. Now, look, he's averaged 8.5 assists before, but his defense seemingly is getting praised at a level that it hasn't been. I mean, is Steph, in a way, a more complete player? Do you buy that? And in what areas do you see it? I know strength is something you mentioned, which could be a big part of it, and the longevity.
You know what? Yes, I would be my answer. I do think he's as complete as he's ever been. His role in that, like, and the reason I say that, JD, is because when he was playing with Clay and Durant, he was great, but he didn't have to be great. You know what I mean? He kind of has to be great. He's had to be great last year, and I get it that he wasn't off to a great start before last night's game, but there's a consistency level he's got to play at for this team to be good. And I always think, you know, I always like to make the differentiation between playing well or playing badly and shooting badly. He's had some poor shooting nights for him. But the fact is, the other parts of his game are like he's in so much control right now. You know what I mean? It's not confidence, but there's just something where when he was playing with Durant, there was always this, you know, should we go to KD? You know, is it my turn kind of thing? And now it's just clear, if something needs to get done, Steph can do it. And it could be anything. It could be hitting a three, getting a rebound, leading the break himself, and hitting another three. You know what I mean? So I do think that he's doing more now than I think he did during the championship years.
Yeah,
at least in the first 10 games.
And I think, you know, the Warriors have found that sweet spot, just if you compare last year to this year, to where he has the freedom to go off. They need him to go off. But yet there's still enough other players that can help in different ways to where it adds up to more winning. And right. I think that's part of, you know, where I want to take back the Steve Nash comp, because I was looking up Nash's numbers here where you were talking. Even in the two MVP years, he was 31 and 32. We'd be talking about Steph being 33 and 34 if you go back to last year when he finished third. And I don't think you could – I mean, it, look, if the Warriors are going to play –
He would have won it. It wouldn't have made – you know, it wouldn't have been a crock.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And look, if the Warriors are going to play at a 60-win pace this year or close to it, and Steph puts up the numbers he's putting up, he's winning the freaking MVP. Like, all of the things that didn't work for him last year are working for him this year in terms of
the win record,
win-loss record.
He's probably the league MVP right now.
Yeah,
I would think. Even though his numbers are, I mean, he's still averaging 28 or 29. But yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. If the Warriors, they win 50 plus, he's gonna be right there.
Yeah, and he's got the momentum that he didn't have last year. But just to wrap up the Nash point, sometimes you forget Steve Nash only averaged 15.5 points in 2004, 2005, 18.8 in 2006. Now, he was averaging 12 and 11 assists, and obviously those are accounting for buckets. But Nash had that run those first really 4 years in Phoenix where he was just unreal. But and that was 31, 32, 33, 34.
Right.
In terms of age, but we're still talking again, 16 and 12, 18 and 11, 18 and 12, 19 and 12. Like the numbers are just not even in the same stratosphere.
Curry took it to the next, like hit the next phase of Steve Nash, which to me, he's like, you know, Steve Nash was a bona fide passer who could score if he needed to. Curry's a scorer who can pass. I mean, that's the one thing. And I think people take it the wrong way because they think it's a limiting characteristic. Steph Curry's a scorer. Like, first and foremost, he can score. But then when you look at the other stuff, like, he can also make plays for other guys when he gets the ball. So, you know, he says Steve Nash and Reggie Miller were his favorite players. And I just think he's kind of Steve Nash, except he's like got not an Iverson mentality, but he's got a scorer's mentality playing like Steve Nash. And he's just, I mean, the thing I'm curious about is, what do you think's going on with, I know they're experimenting, but what's going on with his minutes, do you think?
Yeah.
I'm watching last night's game and he's out and then he's back in and.
I
don't like what they've done with him in the past.
It is. And I think it's probably going to get – it seems a little convoluted right now, to be honest. It almost feels a little too start and stop. Like, he's in, he's out, he's back in. Maybe he's got to come out again.
Right.
I think the one thing, just kind of reading the tea leaves, I think what Steve Kerr's trying to do is make sure in the first quarter – that he's gonna buy a couple of minutes, pay it forward almost, I think.
Yeah.
Instead of him playing all 12, it's gonna be 9 maybe of the 12. And he's still gonna finish the quarter. And now it sets you up to maybe you start him in the second quarter and you give him a little run. And then it eliminates an area of the game, although they did get wrecked in that area of the game in the second quarter last night. Atlanta really took it to them, even
right
up on the floor. But it eliminates that area of the game where the opponent can attack you when you know going into a game that he's not going to be out there.
Right.
And then I think it's almost, I think, going to be managed differently in two halves. Like, I think in the second half, Steve Kerr may decide, no, you know what, I'm going to play him the whole third and try and buy time. Like, there's just more options, I think, nightly, if you pay it forward a little bit early to manage it later. And then if you wind up turning the game into a blowout, he's
right
not going to play that much anyway. So you're just not putting yourself in a position where you're so locked in to have to, are you going to bring him back at 10? Are you going to bring him back at 8? Are you going to bring him back at 6? You almost eliminate that from the conversation with the way they're trying to go about it right now.
Yeah. No, I think there's definitely something to that. I also try to take notice of who's coming in for Steph and who's on the floor. And, you know, the first sub, I think, well, they brought Iguodala in a lot of times and now subbing for Steph. That makes sense because
it's Peyton, though. Peyton's the guy. Like Peyton, right. I mean, right. Peyton's the guy right now. And they play Peyton and Poole, and you got some defense to offset Poole. And yeah, Iguodala's always going to come in for Wiggins, and then Bielitsa now's right. coming in for Looney. And it's just different looks, man, and balance. I didn't mean to jump in on you there, but
no.
it's just, it goes to just the versatility that this team has. I wanted to talk a little bit about just the game against the Hawks specifically,
sure.
because Trae Young, I mean, Steph was going off from the jump, and then Trae Young was having his way. He was getting into the lane. He was doing all the things that Trae Young does. He was pulling up. John Collins was getting whatever he wanted inside. And the Warriors were having a hard time defending the Hawks. It looked like, right. all right, this is a team that can do some things offensively, that's athletic in terms of their bigs. Trey's kind of going wild, but Steph's going toe-to-toe with him. But then the defensive adjustment from the Warriors. We'll talk about a box and one against Trey last night, a 41-20 third quarter. What did you think of the defensive adjustments when the Hawks looked like they were going to maybe go for 120 last night?
Yeah, you know, is that what – did they talk about a box and one?
They did. Gary Payton II after the game said, we started running a box and one on Trey, and basically they couldn't handle it. And it was helping him defend him because Gary Payton's been a revelation defensively. Right. Trae Young cooked him in the first
right.
half.
Right. Well, like, but this is the thing about – this is the difference between Trae Young and Steph Curry. If you play a box and one on Steph Curry, he's just as good without the ball. Like, you almost can't play a box and one on him. Because that's just like man-to-man defense in a way. Trae Young, if you take him boxing one, he's not as good. I mean, he doesn't move without the ball. He's not as strong as Steph. So the boxing one will probably take more out of him. I mean, like, Trae Young is able to be limited more than Curry is. And, you know, there's no doubt about it. The Hawks, to me, are interesting because I think two things are going on with the Hawks right now, and I don't want to make it into a Hawks podcast, but it's clear that, look, they're not an Eastern Conference finalist, all right? They got there last year, and it's the classic curse of it was the year before the year. They got good a year before they really should have, and now what's going to happen? I think one thing that's absolutely happening is they're realizing – you know, we were still only a 40-win team last year, whatever, over 500. And they didn't even have home court in the first round. So they're figuring out that, like, they're not playing as hard as they were to get to that point last year. I also think they have too many players right now. Like, they have guys playing 22 minutes that probably want to play 30 minutes. And I think they're going to have to dwindle it down a little bit because they just, you know, Gallinari, Bogdanovich, Herter, Reddish, Hunter. It's like, who do you play night to night out of those guys? They're all kind of the same. Not really, but, you know, one guy can be any of those guys on a given night can be one of the best players on the floor. Any of those given guys in a given night can be totally mediocre. So I think they got to figure out who they're going to play and then just kind of play them. And somebody's going to be left out, maybe a player and a half, but they're still not a good defensive team. They're really not. And they should be better with Capella and with DeAndre Hunter, but something missing with the Hawks right now.
Well, how many times, and I think the Hawks are in this mode now, where because they went the extra round, because they were in the conference finals, I mean, it felt last night almost like the Warriors were gunning for them for as much as other teams we've seen over the years, maybe not as much the last couple years, have been gunning for the Warriors as a team that was getting a lot of play and had won championships. Like, I could see the Warriors last night thinking – these guys think they're a contender. Like, right. You know, and I'm talking about Steph and Draymond and Iguodala and the guys that have actually been contenders year in, year out and won.
See, I think that's where Curry comes in. Because I think if, you know, it was obvious Curry was like, he can set a tone and then everybody gets wound up.
He was trying to go off. I felt like he was trying to go off last night at the beginning.
Right. Well, what, he took 28 shots. You know, that's a lot for him. It's a lot for anybody. But I guess what I'm saying is that, you said it. You felt like he wanted to go off. Well, if you can feel that watching the game, his teammates certainly know that. And there's just something about, you know, playing with a guy who's the best player on the floor and he's motivated. It's just so fun to play with a guy like that, you know, because the whole team then gets into it. And I think you're right. You know, next thing you know, Draymond and Iguodala are saying, who are these guys? You know, who are these guys? And they go out and they go 41-20 in the third quarter and it's over. There's something about this team. And they know exactly, like, they are, it feels like they're in mid-season form is what it feels like.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Feels like they've already played 45 games together and are like, you know what? We know how to do. You remember last year when Kerr finally decided we got to play small? Yeah. And, you know, I think they were 24-28 at one point last year, the Warriors. I think they might have been 4 under. And they figured out how to play, cut the rotation to 8, playing small, and they just figured it out. They figured that out 3 games into the season. This is the way they're going to play, and they may as well be, you know, we may as well be in February right now.
Yeah, the 24-28 was the low mark, and then they went 15-5 down the stretch to flip it and get into the play-in. Final couple of minutes here, John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. Warriors are sitting now at 9-1. They've even got it dialed with, hey, you know what, Iguodala, you're going to take this night off, and we got it covered. And, oh, Otto Porter's not going to play this night of the back-to-back. We got that covered. Like, that's – like, they're getting to the point already where you can see they even have a plan for picking and choosing.
Right.
You know, to your point, and look, it's different. You're talking about the Hawks. The Hawks have young players that want to play 30 a night. But the Warriors have a lot of similarly talented players that probably all think they could be playing 25 a night.
Right.
But yet it's which nights are guys going to play 12 versus 18. And I know we talked about that a little bit last week, but Steve Kerr's managed that pretty effectively to this point.
But the one way the Warriors can manage that, and you're right, is to actually just give guys nights off.
Yes.
You know, guess what? I don't have to worry about getting 15 minutes for Otto Porter last night. He's taking the day off. Iguodala is going to miss 20 games like that, at least, I would think. Whatever, 20 or so games like that. Well, guess what? He's not going to bitch about not getting minutes in a night he doesn't play. You know what I mean? So it almost naturally keeps a tighter rotation if one guy's taking the night off. And I think we'll see that with Porter. I think we'll see it with, obviously, with Iguodala. I think we'll probably see it with Clay when he comes back, maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if Draymond gets a little of that too, to tell you the truth. They may pay a higher price for that, but I think guys are going to be managed well.
Two things I wanted to get to here. One just on Wiggins, because I know there's been some, you know, we've talked about everything that's going well. And then I got to ask you about this Markieff Morris Jokic thing. Like that was something I had to get your take on before we get out of this. But Wiggins first, man, his numbers are down at this point, but so what? Like, it's kind of my take. Like, his numbers are down because these other players we're talking about are getting theirs, and they're getting theirs efficiently, and Wiggins can just kind of be Wiggins. And it's okay. It's not killing him. Like I don't want to hear, but what about Wiggins, and how's he going to get his – like, he's just not going to get his numbers. To me, that was as predictable as anything coming into this season, that if the Warriors were going to be more successful, Wiggins' numbers were probably going to be going down as a byproduct of that.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is that I don't think Wiggins cares, JD. I really don't think he cares.
Should we care? Should the fans care then? I guess no. It's kind of my question.
Well, the fans are going to care because you know, the numbers are a big part of it. But no, they shouldn't care. I mean, I think you were the guy who said, well, what if Wiggins just turns into a guy who averages 14 a game but is really good defensively? Perfect.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Who cares if you're paying him $30 million? Because
exactly.
If you can make up for it in other ways, it doesn't matter. It's like in baseball, you got a $30 million player sometimes that doesn't do a whole lot, but because of the salary rules, you might have a guy making $500K that's awesome. So it just
– yeah. You know, it's funny. I always – and Jim Barnett, the great Jim Barnett, always used to say, your greatest strength is your biggest weakness. And that's the way it is with Wiggins. What's his biggest weakness? Well, he tends to glide through games. He's not the most aggressive guy. Well, guess what? On a team like this, that turns into maybe his greatest strength, is that he's able to adjust to going from a 20-point-per-night score to 14 or 15, and it's not going to impact anything else. So he's looking like a good fit on this team, too, and – you know, they got a lot of personalities, and he's not one of them. I think he likes it that way. I think he likes not drifting, but blending in and not sticking out.
I think it's just a not, and it's only going to go down in terms of the numbers when Clay comes back. So to me, that's right. another reason to not worry about it, because you've got, in theory, more efficient scoring that's going to be coming back. All right, final thing here. On the pod, I actually happened to be watching this live as it happened. End of the game last night in Denver, the game's decided, and you got Markieff Morris, who's on the Heat, and Jokic is bringing the ball up center court, and Markieff Morris gives him kind of an elbow, shoulder, body, knee bump, kind of to the ribs. It's a borderline. It's a dirty play. And if you watch the Morris twins, we've talked a lot about them. Markieff Morris does that, kind of undercuts him, takes a little cheap hard take foul at center court. And I'm thinking in the moment, before anything happens, if I'm Jokic, I'm blasting this guy. Like, that was exactly what I thought. Like, you know what? I don't even care if I get ejected because the game's over. I'm going to blast this guy and be like, pal.
Right.
And Jokic blasts him from behind.
Right.
Blasts him. Everybody, you know, people are talking, well, why'd Markieff Morris get – well, Markieff Morris got ejected because he hit – there were two dirty plays
in
this instance.
Right.
And – so I just your general thoughts on that. I know that, and then the brothers of Jokic, who are just massive human beings that seem to be likes to fight guys.
Right.
I'm going at it with Marcus Morris, who called it out for being dirty, not facing his brother.
Right.
So the brothers are involved. And look, I'm just gonna say this. Markieff Morris had it coming. And I would have done the same thing if I were Jokic.
Yeah, now Marcus is the next one to have it coming. Those guys have been – that's been 10 years building. You ever see the clip of Kent Benson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? It was actually Kent Benson's first game in the NBA, and he hits Jabbar with an elbow, and it doubles over Jabbar. And Jabbar just walked up on him and punched him right in the face. And Benson went down. It was exactly the same kind of thing. Like he wasn't right behind him, but he just came up beside him and blasted him. And look, should he have done it to his face? Yeah, but the Morris brothers still have dished out more than they've taken. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it was the sign of a guy like Jokic, who I'm sure was kind of tired of some of the garbage he's dealt with, but also like me and you, he's watching the league.
Exactly.
And he sees some of the antics that you get on a regular basis from Markieff Morris. Now look, it probably needs to stop here, and we don't need a brawl between brothers and Jokic is going to get suspended. How many games? Like 5 games maybe?
Oh, I think it's good. I was thinking 2 or 3, believe it or not.
Two or three.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, two or three. So we'll keep tabs on that. Good stuff, my man. Yeah. I know you got a show to get ready for, so we'll talk again. I'm thinking after the Brooklyn game, we'll do this.
Okay.
Maybe next Wednesday for episode 4. Kind of keep it in tip with the big games.
Sounds good, buddy.
And Steiny, our Warriors Weekly podcast in the books.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.